Hello, everyone. This is Rico, and here's another episode of Treks and Sci-Fi, your bi-weekly dose of geeky goodness. This is Rico, your host. It is show 928. Today is February 25th, 2024. Almost the end of February. Almost the beginning of March. And yeah, we got a leap year this year, which is weird, right? Is it? Is it weird? I don't know. All right. Anyway, today I've been wanting to do this for a little while, and I just double checked. I don't think I've talked about it in any detail. Certainly didn't do a podcast about it, but I was a big fan back in the day. Everybody says back in the day now, right? I don't know what other way you say it. You know, it's been, I don't know how long it's been, 20 years since the last one came out. I'll have to look at the dates exactly here in a minute, but I want to cover the Austin Powers movies. They're kind of geeky, you know. They're basically a send-up of James Bond that Mike Myers did. And James Bond is certainly, I feel, geeky with all the gadgets and everything and falls into the nerdy, geeky area. And these are probably even more so because they're more outlandish somewhat. But I really like a good, funny, ridiculous comedy. And I was, again, I enjoyed all three of those movies that he did. There was talk, I think a while ago, there was talk that he was going to do another one, I thought. I don't know if that's completely gone and not going to happen, dead or whatever, but who knows. But again, I did enjoy those a lot, and I need to watch them again. I probably should have watched maybe one of them last night again to just sort of prime my brain a little, but I watched this movie on Amazon Prime called Strays, which, by the way, is not a kid's movie, even though it sort of looks like a kid's movie, but if you watch the trailer, you'll know it's not. It's basically about these stray dogs, and they're done by, you know, there's celebrity voices, that kind of a thing. Will Ferrell does a voice, Jamie Foxx does a voice, but it's rated R, and it's pretty crude, but it's kind of funny. I don't know, it was silly, and I was looking for something like that last night. Anyway, so Austin Powers is the main topic. I'll talk about some other stuff, some Trek stuff. There's a few things going on there. There's always nerdy, geeky things going on in the world. So let us do it.
I'm Captain Kirk.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the winners of the 74th Annual Hunger Games.
We want a man in black.
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose.
Run for your life.
My name is Optimus Prime. I am the Futus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
Yes, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware of the dark side.
That's kind of catchy. It's got a nice ring to it. I mean, it's not technically accurate. It's a gold titanium alloy.
I'm sorry, David. I'm afraid I can't do that.
This is Rico, and you're listening to Treks and Sci-Fi. All right, I am back, folks. Again, Rico, your host, treksf@gmail.com. If you ever want to email me, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/treksandscifi. Videos, vidcasts, music videos that I do, vimeo.com/trekkie, T-R-E-K-K-I-E. So that's all the little locations. We're on Facebook. We've got a nice group there. And I was going to say Twitter, X. I barely use it. I think my handle there, which I got way, way back in the day when it was first starting, I got Treks and Sci-Fi, and I probably could have got Rico at that time because I literally signed up for it way in the early days of Twitter, but I barely use it. Instagram, Rico_D, That's mostly my personal kind of stuff, but I put up a lot of nerdy things. Like the most recent thing, there was a lot of, I read weekly comics still. I go to the comic shop each week. Sometimes I feel like I should just go digital. Sometimes, you know, it's a lot of paper. And there were quite a few comics this week, though. I probably bought about a dozen. And the shop I go to, at least, I get a discount. I get a 20% discount. So, but yeah, I brought up the comics for some reason. What was I going to say? I don't know. My brain, I'll be honest, my brain over the last month has been a little scrambled. On a personal note, my wife, I don't know if I've mentioned this at all, but my wife's mother, she was living alone. She's older, obviously, and Lynn's mom, she's okay, but we've had to move her to an assisted living type situation, and it's been pretty hard on my wife. It's been pretty, it's caused a lot of, let's just say, stress, and it's a lot to deal with, and, you know, her mom's in pretty good shape, but she'll never listen to this, so it doesn't matter. But point is, it's been a very busy, hectic, crazy month or so. So then the other thing that's been going on, which on a personal side, oh, I know how I got into this when I was talking about the Instagram thing. I kind of been getting the urge. We've been talking about this, my wife and I, for a long time. And we've been toying around with the idea of moving. There's a variety of reasons. But suffice it to say, I at some point, I would say in the next maybe year or two, we might move. Not really all that far. Both our sons are in the area still. We might end up moving a little closer to where they are. We're about a half hour-ish from them now, driving. And, you know, it's not really that far, honestly. But we've been toying with this idea. We went actually to look at a house just mostly for just, you know, wanted to see what was in this particular vicinity. It's sort of south of us a bit. And it's a crazy sort of custom house. It was on about 5 acres of land. They had a pool. They had a sauna. They had a hot tub. They had an extra garage. They've got a big bit of land there, 5 acres, a ranch kind of house and, you know, walkout kind of basement thing. These people were definitely active people. They had this crazy exercise equipment in the basement, like you would see at a fitness, you know, gym or something you go to, with a lot of dumbbells. And I kind of want to meet the people. I feel like, it'd be like meeting Arnold or something, you know, in his prime. But the weirdest thing about this house, though, and we're not really interested that much in it. There's too many little things we didn't really care for. One being, it's a very long dirt road to get to where the house is. Although I do like it's kind of out in the country and kind of isolated. But they had this weird... The pictures online before we saw it didn't show it, but they had this weird two rooms in their basement sort of closed off. They were like grow rooms for plants of some kind. There were no plants in them, but they had all this overhead lighting. They had humidity controls for these rooms. I don't know. Are they growing marijuana or were they or something? That's the only thing I can think of. Are they in the florist business or something? I don't know. It was just... And all the gear and equipment is still there. Everything else is cleared out. There wasn't a plant to be seen. But we just didn't know. We go down the basement, and most of the basement is pretty typical. You know, there was like a, you know, finished off area. There was a pool table, some storage area and things. And then we walk into the other sort of side of the basement, and there are these grow rooms. the weirdest thing my wife pointed out was that one of the grow rooms, I don't know if it was both of them, but they had a lock on the door. So it's interesting when you go out and look at houses, let's just say. So, but yeah, I don't know what we'll end up doing. It'll probably be a little while still, maybe next year, I think. But we'll see. So let's move on to some nerd news, some sad news. One of the Trek actor guys that was in Discovery, he played the Klingon. One of the Klingons in the first season. Anyway, you guys know him probably if you're listening to this show. Kenneth Mitchell. He had I guess it was during the early days of Discovery. He had been diagnosed with ALS, and he turned up. They actually were really good, and they were able to fit him into a couple other roles and parts in the show. But he passed away, it looks like, just in the last day or two or something. I don't know which date it was, if it was yesterday or Friday or whatever. I just saw some things this morning online about it. It's really, I sometimes think about this because everyone has different things they've dealt with. And especially after you've been around a while, let's just put it that way with me, or whatever, it's just crazy. Hopefully most people try to take care of themselves, the whole, eating, whatever you can do to, you shouldn't smoke. That's ridiculous. I don't understand when people still smoke. Okay. Rico's getting on his soapbox. Get ready. But I pulled into a parking lot the other day. I went to the pet store to get some stuff for their dog, for our dog. And, this lady pulls up, this older lady in an SUV, and she's got kind of her window down, and I'm smelling smoke. All of a sudden I look over and glance over. She parked right next to me. I was about to leave and she's smoking, and I just want to go over there and just say, just don't do that. I mean, but my point simply is, they're like, everybody out there, you guys are all, what's Rico to get into? Here's the thing. There are things you can do to keep yourself healthy, right? Trying to eat well, get some exercise, and don't smoke, and don't do drugs, kids. But anyway, but the ALS thing for this guy, Kenneth Mitchell, it's like just you can be walking, sitting, whatever, all of a sudden your life is going on, you think everything's going well. He had a role in a Trek show and all this, and then he gets this diagnosis. There's diseases and these terrible things out there that just, a snap of your fingers, your whole life has been changed and not for the better. I mean, you get sometimes things in life that you get, something happens and, change for the better that was kind of out of the blue, win the lottery or something like that or whatever, but that you didn't really have. It's not like, when you're working, I feel like that you're, and if you get a promotion or you try to get a new job, that you're actively trying to do. I mean, things that are kind of just like a bolt of lightning situation where it's really sad. And I think everybody should appreciate every day when you get up and everything's pretty much okay. I tell my wife this, I tell Lynn this, I said, as long as people that we know, friends, family, us, everybody's in pretty decent health, I everything else I think can be worked out. I'm a firm believer in that. So it's very sad. My heart goes out to the friends, family, of Kenneth. Yeah, it's just crazy. It's. I think it's especially sad when something so quickly happens to somebody like that. It's just wrong. It's too bad. It's very sad. So, all right. How do I segue off of that? Hey, let's talk. Since we're on Discovery, this is how I can segue off of that. They just dropped in the last couple of days, they dropped a trailer. Although I feel like some of this stuff in this season five trailer, they've kind of sprinkled in, we've seen already. But they did drop, I think it's about a minute and 40 seconds. It's not super long. For the fifth season, which starts on Paramount Plus and maybe other networks in other countries. I don't even know. But Paramount Plus, and it is starting April 4th, whatever the first, I think it's April 4th, the first Thursday of April, which is only a little more than a month away now. So it's going to be 10 episodes, final season. And, yeah, the trailer looks good. I mean, I've heard that they're trying to lighten things up a little bit in this season. It looks like it's some kind of almost a quote unquote treasure hunt. I think Romulans are involved from what I've heard. I think some of this stuff has been out there, but yeah, it looks fun. I've Discovery's, I've kind of run warm, hot, cold, whatever. My biggest thing is, unlike what most people seem to always, anytime Discovery comes up, everybody talks about, oh, everybody cries on that show. I'm like, people, if that's your biggest problem with the show, it's pretty minor. I mean, and it's, people do cry in life, but I mean, my biggest problem has been, and I've said this a few times, many times, I think, is just simply, I feel like the storylines and the story plots and things in these season long arcs of kind of saving the universe is kind of run its course. Like, they need to stop that, and Burnham and Discovery's crew can't be the ones to save the day all of the time. I mean, granted, yeah, and you're probably, people could be out there saying, well, the Enterprise always saved things. Well, did they, though? They weren't really solving galaxy universe level stuff, right? It was like, you know, this planet, this, a little war here, a little thing there. I mean, granted, sometimes things got bigger, I feel like, over the years. But it was pretty, it wasn't the end of the galaxy kind of events that they've had on Discovery, I think. So, all right, with all that said, though, I'm still looking forward to season five. I'm happy that we're getting another, you know, we're getting a season of Trek this year because of the strikes and things. You know, they are filming season three of Strange New Worlds. We've got, I think, that Section 31 movie that is moving forward. They're filming that now as well with Michelle Yeoh. So yeah, we'll get some Trek. I think we're going to get some more Lower Decks maybe late this year. I'm looking forward to it. So let me play for you this trailer. I'll come back and say a few other things, and we'll get into the Austin Powers stuff. And I'm resisting very hard to do my Austin Powers impressions. I'm sure I'll throw some in later on. But here is the latest trailer for season five of Discovery, Star Trek : Discovery. Here you go.
It has been a hell of a journey. But everything ends someday.
The Discovery is my home, my family. We've always been able to find answers together.
Being a part of a crew, being where you need to be, when you need to be, that's Starfleet.
Last dance.
I shall follow your lead.
The greatest treasure in the known galaxy is out there. It's more important than you can imagine.
We're on a search for one of the greatest powers ever known.
It could be very dangerous in the wrong hands.
This clue is the most important thing. We have to keep it safe.
Let's fly. My crew, the family I found in Starfleet, we made a pretty good team.
All right, there we go with the fifth season trailer to Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, there's a lot going on in that trailer. I think the biggest thing, you know, this idea that, you know, that you hear them talk about it in the trailer, this hunt that they're on for this, some kind of power or something, you know, so important and all. I hope they have a good enough reason for going after it. I guess kind of what I'm saying, because I feel like, you know, there's still the Federation is in and Starfleet is in pretty weak condition. You know, last time we saw them, even though that, you know, they're 1,000 years in the future or whatever from whatever typical Star Trek time era is, it's I don't know what is this something that will help you know, rebuild the Federation, rebuild Starfleet? I don't know. I'm reading, this is on the Paramount Plus YouTube channel. Let's see what this little blurb here says underneath the underneath this. It says the fifth and final season will find Captain Michael Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery uncovering a mystery that will send them on an epic adventure across the galaxy to find an ancient power whose very existence has been deliberately hidden for centuries. But there are others on the hunt as well, dangerous foes who are desperate to claim the prize for themselves and will stop at nothing to get it. So whatever. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention that I saw the other day, for anyone that's interested, and I guess this is probably just maybe for the U.S. only. If anybody does a lot of Walmart stuff, like if you have a Walmart Plus subscription, which is basically like, I don't know what it costs per month, $12 a month, something like that maybe. I had it for a little while during COVID for getting basically Walmart stuff delivered to the house. Even though we don't really shop at Walmart, it was mostly just the convenience of that little fairly cheap, you know, to get things shipped to your house. And it was anything from you could have like a couple little things to a whole load of groceries shipped to your house. But the point is, it looks like if you have a Walmart Plus subscription, you get Paramount Plus also. You get the base level one with the commercials, which is, I think I talked about that on the last podcast 2 weeks ago, is becoming annoying to me a little bit. I don't know when Disco comes back in next month if I'll up for a month or two to the more premium Paramount Plus subscription to have a commercial-free viewing experience. Yes. So, all right, what else have I been watching? We'll do another couple minutes on that, and then I'll get into Austin Powers. I just finished the second season. It's the final season. They announced they're not coming back for more of Carnival Row with Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne. Is that how you say her name? And others. It's a little fantasy show where these sort of, what they call them, the Fae, live amongst humans, and they're kind of persecuted. It's that kind of a idea. It's kind of like mutants with the X-Men. Oh, by the way, X-Men 97, this new run of X-Men episodes sort of following up what happened in the 90s X-Men cartoon is starting in March, which kind of came out of the blue. I thought we were still more time away from that. And I saw a few people complaining about the animation style, but I think that it was a choice that they wanted to make it kind of like the old style animation a bit. I had to see a few episodes to really make a full judgment on that just from the trailer. I don't know if you can do that, but I'm excited. I'm very excited. I love that show back in the day. It was for a huge X-Men fan like I am. I mean, I always tell people, you know, there's three or four comic superheroes and superhero teams that I love the most. Spider-Man's the top, pretty much. I love the X-Men. I love Batman and Fantastic Four. Those are, oh, by the way, they announced a cast for this finally announced a cast for the new Marvel, I guess, version of the Fantastic Four. Pedro Pascal is going to be Reed Richards. I mean, Pedro Pascal, I love. He's been fantastic in everything I've seen him in. But even that second Wonder Woman movie, I don't think he was the biggest problem with that movie. I mean, that movie had some troubles. But anyway, I just think he's a little old for Reed Richards. I think that, I mean, I've heard this idea that they're going to be, it's possible they've had their powers for a long time and they've been in air, you know, they haven't been, let's say, for a different reason. I don't want to say too much, but that it's not really going to be exactly an origin story. So they're supposed to be intentionally a little older. But I just think if you want to do a group of films, I mean, Pedro's what? Is he 50? Late 40s? Something like that. I'd say he's probably about 50. I'll have to check here in a second. But I mean, you know, he's great as a Mandalorian, although I'm hearing that when they bring him back, he's barely going to be doing anything but the voice for that anymore and stuff. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem. I've always maintained you got to wait and see the final product and decide then. So we'll see. I trust Marvel. I still think they're doing a good job. Unlike a lot of people who think, you know, everything after Endgame was garbage. It's like, anyway. So they announced that cast. What else have I been watching? Not a whole lot, really. I did start to watch, and I'm not really that big of a fan of this. I never really got into it that much. But they have a new Netflix series based on The Last Airbender, or whatever it's called. Avatar, The Last Airbender, or whatever, which I finally learned what kind of that means a little bit. But I watched the first episode of that the other day. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it looks good. I think the main actor character is doing a good job. I'll keep watching it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. Oh, and The Bad Batch came back on Disney Plus, Star Wars. It's great to get Star Wars, and I love the animated Star Wars stuff that they've done. It's kind of like I've always said, those DC animated movies are almost better than, a lot of them are better than the DC live action stuff that they've done. And I honestly, here's another, let's just keep going with that idea. I think a lot of the Star Wars animated stuff is better than those last three live action movies that they did. I mean, I enjoyed those movies, but it was just rough to see the way they went with some of the classic characters. I think is the best way I can sum it up. I think it was really a shame of what they, and now with Carrie Fisher gone, especially, I think, and you know, it was a shame that they didn't utilize them in better ways. And you could have still brought in new characters and new, you know, cast, and had them still be very interesting and exciting. I mean, I'm still interested in what they're going to do with these Rey movies and the other movies they've announced. And don't get me wrong, I'll always love Star Wars. It doesn't sour me like it seems on some people. But yeah, so watch The Bad Batch if you haven't. It's really a great show. I think they do a good job with that one. And it's a lot of fun to watch. And yeah, they released three episodes. You know, a lot of these shows put out multiple episodes when they first come back. Some, you know, like Netflix, I think the whole Last Airbender thing is all on Netflix now. It'll probably take me 2 or 3 months to get through it the way I watch, but because I rotate things and all that. So, all right, half the podcast is over, and I haven't even talked about the main topic, so let's stop here. All right, to start with, Austin Powers, let me play, not us. Sometimes I do that. Switching over to this, International Man of Mystery was the first movie in 1997. Then we had The Spy Who Shagged Me, which was in 99. And then A Goldmember, which is in 2002. So to shift us over to Austin Powers, let me play the trailer to the first Austin Powers movies. I'll find whatever trailer I run across on YouTube. I'll play that for you, and we'll get back and talk about Mike Myers and how these movies got started and what he was trying to do and all that. All right, here we go.
In 1967, an international secret agent was cryogenically frozen in case the world ever required his services again. Now, evil is threatening the Earth, and the time has come to bring him back into the 90s.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Danger Powers Personal Effects.
Actually, my name is Austin Powers. Danger's my middle name.
I'm gonna need you to sign these release forms.
Okay, name. Sex? Yes, please.
In his time, he was the coolest secret agent alive. Unfortunately,
it's freedom, baby, yeah!
This is not his time. He's a swinger in a square world.
A lot's changed since 1967.
Bring on the sexy stews, man! Yeah!
We're called flight attendants now.
And he's a stranger in a strange land.
This is my mother, Mrs. Exposition.
Lovely.
Austin!
What have you done?
That's not your mother, it's a man, baby!
No. Why won't this wig come off? Well, now you shake it to the left.
Ow! That really hurt! Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Mike Myers.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
Elizabeth Hurley.
Don't forget these.
Oh, thanks.
Austin Powers. International Man of Mystery.
Oh, I don't need to have fun, Austin. That's you in a nutshell.
No, this is me in a nutshell. Help! I'm in a nutshell!
Yeah, baby. Yeah. I can't do it. It's too early on a Sunday for me to do it. Do I make you horny? Okay, maybe I can do that. Anyway, so Austin Powers, the first one, from 1997. My goodness, how long ago that is. 25, a little more than that. Well, I can do some math here. 27 years ago, is that right? Yeah. All right, anyway, so Mike Myers, of course, big comedian back in the day, Saturday Night Live, and started these Austin Powers movies, did other things as you know, in the movies as well. Anyway, the so Myers has said that basically, let's see, he says, the idea for this movie came to him one night while driving home from hockey practice. He heard the song The Look of Love by Burt Bacharach, great song, classic, on his car radio, and he wondered, where have all the swingers gone? And he conceived of the character who would become Austin Powers. Then also, let's see, there's a little more to this here. In an interview from in November of 2018, Myers stated, after my dad died in 91, I was taking stock of his influence on me as a person and his influence on me with comedy in general. So Austin Powers was a tribute to my father, who introduced me to James Bond, Peter Sellers, The Beatles, The Goodies, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore. So yeah, this the Austin Powers character first appeared in the band Ming T with Myers as Powers, Susanna Hoffs as Gillian Shagwell, and Matthew Sweet as Sid Belvedere. Myers' wife, Robin Rosen, said Myers should write a movie based on Powers. Let's keep going down this Wikipedia article a little bit more. The first phrase he thought of, that the character might say was, "Do I make you horny?" which later indeed became a catchphrase for the character. He has also disclosed that the character also draws on his recollections of former Radio Caroline DJ Simon D, who hosted the first real television chat show in the United Kingdom in 1967, which ended with his driving off in a sports car with a young blonde in the passenger seat. An important inspiration for the series is British super spy, of course, James Bond. Myers said of Bond, "I can't even tell you how huge it was in our house. That's really why I wanted to do Austin Powers. Austin Powers is out of pure love for James Bond." So yeah, it's and my dog is looking at me longingly. Luna is sitting here, so I might need to pause the recording and run her out. My wife is at the store. Lynn's out shopping a little, but so I will, yeah, I'm going to pause because maybe she just doesn't like me talking to somebody else. But yes, hello, baby. Yeah, she's right here. So yeah, I love these movies. And I think, like a lot of movie series, I think the originality and the freshness of the first one makes it always kind of, it's always hard to kind of top that. I think the first two especially are pretty good. I think the third one got a little bit crazy. The other obvious thing we need to talk about, of course, is that Mike Myers plays multiple characters in these movies, especially, yes, you know that too. That's Luna. Say hello, Luna. And the other main character he plays, of course, is Dr. Evil, who is just as funny, maybe even more so than Austin Powers. Yeah, so we'll talk about that here. I'm going to take a pause. I'll be back. We'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Evil. We'll get into the other movies and talk more Austin Powers. Be right back.
This is Pocketbook's Star Trek novelist Michael A. Martin warbling in your ear, and you're listening to Rico
on Treks and Sci-Fi.
All right, had to take a little stroll with the pup, with the dog. Not really a puppy anymore, with Luna. So I'm back. Let's see, Austin Powers, first movie. Let's give you a little rundown on the details. Let's see, the movie came out on May 2nd, 1997. Wow, so long ago it seems. It was only 89 minutes, like a 90-minute basically movie. I didn't remember it being quite that short, truthfully. It had a budget of only $16.5 million. Can you imagine a movie these days? Oh my gosh. And it made roughly $68 million. So, directed by Jay Roach, who I think directed all three of these movies. Mike Myers, written by, produced by Suzanne Todd, Demi Moore. Really? Jennifer Todd and Mike Myers, starring Mike Myers, Elizabeth Hurley, Michael York, Mimi Rogers. Yeah, Mimi Rogers was one of Austin's ladies' friends in the movie. Elizabeth Hurley, of course. Michael York, I kind of had forgotten. He was kind of like the head of the spy agency, right, that Austin worked at, whatever it was called. And then, of course, we've got Dr. Evil, played also by Mike Myers. And there's others. Robert Wagner's in this. Seth Green's in these movies. I forgot Will Ferrell was in this. I'm looking at the longer list of actors. Clint Howard was in this movie. Carrie Fisher was in this too as a therapist for him. Tom Arnold is in this. Just a ton of people. I think it's again a super fun movie. I mean, these movies might not be for everybody. They're kind of silly. They're kind of quirky. Kind of dumb, truthfully. But I don't know. I feel like that's a good movie to watch. They kind of remind me of the old spoof movies like the Airplane series and others. And I really like it a lot. All right, let us shift over to the second one in the series. Pulling up, what's the official complete title? The Spy Who Shagged Me, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. This one came out in 99, and let's play a trailer.
Do you swing?
Are you kidding, baby? I put the gar in Swinger, baby, yeah!
Austin Powers.
Crazy, baby, yeah!
Is back.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
With the help of the beautiful Felicity Shagwell.
How does that feel, baby?
Lower.
How does that feel, baby?
In a thrilling adventure of intrigue, treachery, and love. But Dr. Evil is back, and more evil than ever.
I'm gonna cry, huh?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' mojo. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
A bombshell with a secret. Robin Swallows.
Swallows? That's an interesting name.
Maiden name Spitz.
Well, which is it, baby? Spitz or Swallows?
Dr. Evil, we began a program to clone you. He is exactly like you in every way. 1/8 your size.
I shall call him Mini-Me.
Mini-Me! Something small, something deadly. Mike Myers. Mike Myers.
What are you, some kind of freak?
You mother.
Heather Graham.
Move over, Rover. This chick is taking over.
And Mike Myers.
Surprise, surprise!
In the biggest Austin Powers adventure yet. The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Great plan, Einstein.
All right, zip it.
You know, you can't...
Zip.
It's simple.
Zip is right, bingo one. Meet our hero at all. Subtitle, zip it.
Found.
Zip it.
This...
Zip it. Zip it. Oh.
You know what?
Zip it.
So, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. This one's an interesting idea because, you know, the first movie was Frozen Austin from like 67, unthawed in 97. So, in this one, he ends up going back in time to like 1969. So, Austin gets to be back kind of in his element, which I think is an interesting idea. And I think that was a really good idea to do that. And my little Amazon alert thing just went off. Basically the same lineup with some new characters thrown in. I mean, Mike Myers is obviously back. We've got Michael York back as well. Elizabeth Hurley's also back. Although she's not in it as much because we've got a new kind of female lead with Austin, Heather Graham, who I think is fantastic. I think she's great in this movie. I really like what she does. And then let me give you a few more of the details of the movie. Oh, there's, I think there's, if I remember right, I think there's quite a bit more Dr. Evil in this movie too. This movie came out on June 11th, 1999. Oh my goodness, the summer of the Phantom Menace. This one also is fairly short, only 95 minutes. This one cost $33 million, but it made $312 million. So crazy increase in how much movie or how much money this made compared to the first one, which is a little surprising. I didn't remember that or didn't quite realize that. I mean, the first movie was successful, but sometimes it seems like, and this is, here's an interesting, you know, statistic or be kind of fun to kind of look into this, but sometimes I think movies, when they kind of hit, sometimes the second ones, the follow-ups end up being even more popular because people go, oh, that movie was a hit. I'll go see, you know, now I'll go see that, you know, the next time there's one. But anyway, yeah, so this is a time travel-y thing. It's a lot of fun, a lot of good music, a lot of good Austin Powers back, and you know, things. It says this one, it says the most commercially successful of the Austin Powers series, taking in more money during its opening weekend than the entire box office of the predecessor. It was nominated also for a 72nd Academy Awards for Best Makeup, because there is a lot of makeup in these movies. One of the funniest things I feel like about these, because I think Mike Myers has kind of teased that the British are kind of have bad teeth, but he's got these weird, ugly, bad teeth in these movies that he uses. So I thought that was kind of interesting. There's something here on the box office. Let me read this. The Spy Who Shagged Me was a hit at the box office, landing in the top position in its opening weekend, grossing almost $55 million from a then record 3,315 theaters. Its debut total was more than the entire gross of the predecessor, set a record for the June opening, beating Batman Forever's 95 record, and was the biggest opening ever for a comedy. For 4 years, it would hold the June opening record spot until 2003, when the Hulk movie surpassed that. This one, I won't get into a lot of the ratings. You know, I always feel like that's very subjective. These movies have a lot of good music in them, I should point out. There's a Madonna song in this movie. There's some stuff from Lenny Kravitz, REM, Green Day. It's just, and some Burt Bacharach, again, going back to the 60s era. So it's, you know, he loves putting, and that was always true with the James Bond films as well, right? They used a lot of music in those. So that's the second of the Austin Powers movie. The big one, the big song I remember from this is near the early part of the movie, American Woman by Lenny Kravitz, when Austin first meets the Heather Graham character at that like disco that they go to, or whatever it's called, dance place. I don't know if it's called a disco in 69. Are they called discos then? I don't know. But all right, time to move on. I think we're moving through these, and I want to make sure I don't run really long or anything. Sometimes I used to always shoot for the podcast. You know, I always was targeting about an hour for the show. I feel like that's a good amount of time. I feel like sometimes, I think podcasts, I know for me listening to podcasts, I know when podcasts were especially long, it kind of made me not want to really listen to them somewhat. So I try not to make them super long. Of course, there's always exceptions. All right, next up, we have Goldmember. Is it called Austin Powers Goldmember? It probably is, isn't it? I'm trying to get to the Wikipedia entry here so I can be prepared a little. Looks like the technical title of this one. Oh, it's a little different. It's called Austin Powers in Goldmember. So a little bit of a different sort of take on the name here that they did. But this one, let's see, when this one came out in 2002. And let us play a trailer to Goldmember.
He is brilliant. He is deadly. And he is still surrounded by frickin' idiots.
Think!
This summer,
I am a sexy beast!
Secrets will be revealed.
Lower the globe!
Lower the
globe! Ow! Ow!
I'm okay! Release the meteor!
Oh, no way! Raise the bomb!
One of our best agents has been kidnapped. It's your father.
An evil pact.
Who has my father? The aptly named Goldmember.
A dangerous mission.
Where can I find this Goldmember?
1975.
He is, ladies and gentlemen. It's Goldmember!
I am from Holland. Oh. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
A foxy partner.
To Cleopatra, and I'm a whole lot of woman. Shazam!
A family secret.
Dad!
Hello, son.
Your spy car's a mini.
It's not the size, mate. It's how you use it.
Now, it's time to face the truth.
We've been trying for years to get a mole inside Dr. Evil's lab.
And here he is.
So you're the...
mole.
Nice to mole you. Meet you, I said mole.
Stop.
Mole.
Bye, Mole.
On July 26th.
Right on, sugar.
Can you keep a secret?
Molly.
Shut up.
New Line Cinema presents...
Oh, I'd like to have a go with that, Philly.
Shut your mouth.
Mike Myers.
I haven't laughed that hard since I was a little girl, thank you.
Introducing Beyoncé Knowles.
Huh?
And Michael Caine.
You know, all kids are different, eh? For example, Minnie Me loves chocolate. Scotty do.
So we're gonna do this.
Scotty do.
Ha ha.
How about it,
Owen? Oh, you're like, I don't get it.
How about it, Owen?
What are you?
How about it, Owen?
Oh. Honestly.
Charles.
Look, I don't. Can we just
comb your lips?
Just sit right here, Scotty do.
Austin Powers in Gold Member. Opens July 26th.
Yeah, so Austin Powers in Goldmember, the third film in the series. This one was had a budget of about $63 million, made about $300 million. Still did pretty good. It came out on July 26, 2002, 94 minutes long. So all of them around, you know, 90, give or take a couple of minutes. This one also involves time travel, Dr. Evil, Mike Myers playing even more roles. I forgot Beyonce, Beyonce has had quite a career when you think, you know, not just obviously in music, but I'd forgotten that she was in this movie a little bit. I remember now seeing the trailer, but, and this was, you know, this is 20 plus years ago. So yeah, I mean, most of the others are back. Michael York, Seth Green, Robert Wagner's in here again. Vern Troyer, of course, I have to mention him, you know, great as Mini-Me. And it's a lot of fun. I think the most fun or one of the most fun parts about this movie, and I'll see if I can find it on YouTube and play it here in a minute. But, there's this opening scene in this movie. You know how a lot of the Bond films, and I guess the Austin Powers did this as well, but this one, especially the opening of this movie starts with there's Luna again. She doesn't like me ignoring her. So the opening though of this movie that is a they're spoofing Austin Powers, basically saying they're making a movie called, I think it's called it's spoofing the name Octopussy. I think it's called Austin Pussy, something like that. I think, yeah. So it's a biopic supposedly parodying, you know, this, and self-parody is directed by Steven Spielberg, stars Tom Cruise as Austin Powers, Gwyneth Paltrow as Dixie Normus, Kevin Spacey as Dr. Evil, Danny DeVito as Mini-Me, and John Travolta as Goldmember. I would have watched a whole movie of that, you know. So let me see if I can find that opening scene. But I think it's, again, I think it's pretty funny. I do like Tom Cruise a lot. I mean, he makes great movies, and I think it was a good, you know, he's a good sport to do that for this. So here, let me see if I can find this clip of the opening scene of Goldmember where they're filming a parody in a way of a biopic of Austin Powers and his character. So here we go.
Yeah, baby.
Hi, I'm Dixie. Dixie Normus. I may just be a small-town FBI agent / single mother, but I'm still tough and sexy.
Well, Miss Normus, shall we shag now or shag later?
Oh, Austin, behave.
Hey, Powers. You better watch your friggin' self, because this is one doctor who does make house calls. Right, Mini-Me?
Hey, assholes! I'm right over here! I'm Mini-Me! Come and get me!
And cut!
That's a cut, everybody!
Move it on! Check the gate, please!
So, Austin, what'd you think of the opening credits?
Well, I can't believe Sir Steven Spielberg, the grooviest filmmaker in the history of cinema, is making a movie about my life. Very shagadelic, baby, yeah! Having said that, I do have some thoughts.
Really? My friend here thinks it's fine the way it is.
Well, no offense, Sir Stevie, but you gotta have mojo, baby, yeah! Hit it!
Yeah, baby. I can't do it. I'm not, it's got to be later in the day. Got to have, loosen up the voice more. So yeah, that's a fun opening scene. Then it gets into this music dance number right after that. So, yeah. And all right, what else have I said about, or have I said more about Goldmember? I think there's a lot going on in this movie. Let's just put it that way. But I do love that opening scene. And did I give the rundown? I think, 94 minutes. I already said all that. So, let's just wrap this up, I think, at this stage. I think these are a lot of fun, these movies. I wish we had more of this kind of, you know, silliness. I think that's kind of one of the reasons why the Barbie movie did so well last year. I think it's kind of there's definitely a message in that movie, but it's also kind of silly. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, like Oppenheimer, which I think it's a good movie, but I mean, it's like Austin, you know, said to Sir Steven Spielberg, I have some thoughts though, still on Oppenheimer. I mean, I think there's a little too much stylishness in it for me. I wanted a little bit more of the nitty gritty. You know, Christopher Nolan is kind of becoming more like that. I think the maximum level of style that he threw into a movie was Tenet, which I know that I heard, I don't know if it's come out yet, but I heard they were going to re-release that in theaters. Maybe that already happened. I don't know. But there's nothing against it. I mean, I'm glad I saw it. I'm actually kind of doing pretty good for seeing a lot of the Academy Award or Oscar nominated films this year. Usually I'm lucky to have seen one or two, and I'll probably maybe end up at about five or six of the nominated films at least that I've seen, I think, give or take. There's a couple still that I'd like to see that I don't know if I'll get a chance before the awards show. There's Puppy again, Luna. So let's wrap this up. Looks like we'll be maybe a little smidge under an hour, give or take. But hope you guys enjoyed the show. As always, feel free to email me, treksf@gmail.com. Or again, I gave all that other info out at the beginning of the podcast. 2 weeks out, I keep putting this show off. I do want to do a podcast about Babylon 5. I want to watch some of the remastered DVDs or Blu-rays that I got and then do a podcast. I did a podcast about Babylon 5 ages ago, so I'd like to revisit it. That's kind of on the list. hopefully sometime in March. I'll get to that maybe in a couple of weeks even. So everyone take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
People, all right. Show me love. Great, baby. Yeah. Oh, behave.
This has been a Rick Dusty podcast production.